So Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, as you know, there are literally thousands and thousands of great games and some shitty ones. Mm-hmm. Out there, it's a world of games.
Yeah.
And I've taken the liberty of writing the name of every video game that's easy to emulate on the back of one of these salmon.
Whoa. Where'd you get all these salmon?
Huh? Market. However, as you know, it's time for the salmon run. And I don't know if you know this, but salmon are amazing creatures. And they're this triumph of dumb evolution where they run up this river. They swim against current for, like, days. Many of them just die. They're, like, fish slapping for bass, just hanging out at the end trying to eat them. And, like, one in, like, a thousand salmon actually make it up
right
top to actually squirt out babies.
Right.
Most of that is true. I don't remember all of the details, but
they swim upriver so that their seed can flow downriver.
Yeah,
it's their way of giving the entire water table a spunky upper decker is what we call it.
Yeah, it's and it just makes all the other fish mad.
Yeah,
we don't swim in your wife. Don't come in our pool. So I've written all these names. We got some real good ones. Like there's like Contra Super C and Castlevania 4, and then that guy right there with the eye patch, that's Super Metroid.
Oh,
and so I'm going to let them all go, and then we're going to watch nature take its course and see which one makes it to the end.
It's majestic, Gary.
It is majestic. Look at the bear eat them. Look at that wolf eat them. Look at those two starving to death. One of them is over there writing a sad song.
Do you want to hop in this golf cart? We can follow him upriver.
Yeah.
It's silent because it's electric.
I know. I was farting. that wasn't the golf cart. It came from my bottom. So we're heading up. Okay, look. Oh, it looks like one of the. Okay, it sounds neck and neck.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have Doki Doki Panic.
All right,
Doki
yeah.
Doki Panic's in second.
Oh,
he's in first. It's Grandpa's delicate condition. He's coming up. And one of them made it.
Jerry, this is so exciting.
All right, I'm holding him. He's real pregnant.
Okay.
Oh God, fish eggs
everywhere. Let's feed these to rich people.
And it was it's James Cod Robo. It's James Pond 2 RoboCod.
Oh, codename RoboCod.
Codename RoboCod.
Not even the actual RoboCod. Ugh.
The fish.
Gary, aren't there other fish in the sea?
Huh? Well, they all got eaten by bears and teens.
Damn it, we're stuck.
Bears and teens and bears and teens and bears and teens.
Fuck.
Fuck. I'm Gary Butterfield.
My name's Cole Ross.
And this is Abject Suffering, the show where we play bad games so you don't have to.
Why are you doing this to us?
Yeah. And this week we're playing James Pond 2.
Yeah.
The James RoboCod.
James Pond 2, codename the RoboCod.
Yep.
He's the goddamn RoboCod.
Even though he's a mud skipper. Like, that would be like if Superman's name was like Super Gorilla. Like, he's a human. You know, he's not human, but bear with me here.
Yeah.
Or like, Batman's name was Bat Gorilla. It's like an entirely different species. They're both fish.
It's like bat primate. Like,
yeah, bat, yeah,
kinda.
Bat primate. Like a mud skipper is not a cod, right?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. I don't think so either, because you eat cod, but mud skippers you never eat.
Well, there's a reason for that. Their society is built around revenge.
Yeah.
Why do you think they're coming after you? they don't let the surly bonds of the shore hold them.
Yeah. Yeah. And don't get me wrong. The mud skipper is a great fish.
Yeah.
Yeah, but fuck this game, though.
As popularized by Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah, Muddy Mudskipper.
Yeah, everybody's here.
Yeah, the animation on the Muddy Mudskipper sketch, they just like capitalized on how funny of a like gesture it is to just kind of hurl yourself without arms a little further onto the shore.
Yeah, I work with somebody who storyboarded for that show.
Yeah, you've told me that before. Did they do the Muddy Mudskipper work?
They had that and log and stuff. It's pretty interesting.
That's cool.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, James Pond Robocod. It's funny that it has pond in the name because it comes from across the pond. And boy, Gary, you can smell the Euro all over this.
Yeah, yeah. It's not developed by Rare, but like it's like the off-market Rare. Like somehow what's rarer than Rare?
It's dollar store
it's
Rare.
Gold.
And because of that, I fear that we're going to be culturally insensitive, despite the fact that I just said you can smell the Euro all over it.
It means follow the money, people.
Yeah. Yep.
Like find out who's financing this shit.
Yeah. Is it the New World Order? I bet you it is.
New World Order. That's the Euro is a plot of the New World Order.
Definitely. I heard so in Deus Ex.
Yeah.
But yeah, so if we like crap, like this is somebody's equivalent of Sonic the Hedgehog. I just know it.
Yeah. So. It's a really beloved game. There's like three reviews on GameFAQs and it's like 7 out of 10, 7 out of 10, 10 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's not true though, guys. You should revisit your childhood classic and fart all over it because it's not very good. This is a bad game.
Cook that sacred and cow.
Yeah, this is not, I mean, it's not the worst game we've ever done.
No.
By any means. Like it's fully in the middle. But, like, it's pretty shitty. Also, like, did any part of... Like, I had only heard of this game because the name was funny. I never played... Did you have any James Pond experience?
No. I found one of the, a collection of GBA remakes when I was working at GameStop. And I laughed at it, and I admired the art, but I never played it.
I'm the same. In your wildest imagination, did you ever think it would be a Christmas game?
No, I didn't. And no. I assure you, that was entirely not on purpose. It was just a weird coincidence.
Yeah, it's very strange. Like, this is our Christmas episode on accident. And it's because James Pond, Robocod, codename Robocod, is heading to the North Pole where Dr. Maybe has, like, taken over Santa's workshop.
Yeah, Dr. Maybe, a clever play on words of Dr. No.
Yeah, and you can tell it's clever because Wikipedia says it's clever.
Yep.
All of my sense of humor I get from the Wikipedia entry on humor.
Have you ever just like looked at a show specific wiki where they break down all of the references and explain why it's funny?
Yeah,
it's really depressing.
Yeah, it doesn't work. The right now, and this is dumb inside baseball, but just because it's on topic, like. And it's not even inside baseball. It's just inside baseball for me. Call Me Bang Bang, at the end of the year, they always do their best of episodes.
Yep.
And they're doing them now. And Scott Aukerman and Paul Tompkins. And they're really fun together. They're very funny. But for some reason, I think it's because the TV show has been successful this year. Mm-hmm. Scott is explaining everything.
Oh, no.
And it's really weird. Like, because the show is it's an interview and then somebody who's doing an improv character comes in who's real weird. And then, like, that's the concept of the show. And he's just kind of explaining, like, this character, Tracy Reardon, came in. It's played by Lauren Lapkus. She's great. She does a great job with it. And it's like, well, they never, like, shatter the illusion before. Like, everybody knows who these people really are, but they don't. They never underline it. And now they're just underlining it left and right. And they're like, this was a fan favorite because it's just so relaxed and, like, man, shut up. Like, I know this stuff. Who are you talking to? Like, it feels a bit like a betrayal.
They're breaking the kayfabe.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's frustrating.
Yeah, that's painful. That's really painful. It's like seeing somebody explain a Perry Bible Fellowship strip.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't work. Also, you should look at the strips because they're beautiful too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, Robocod.
Robocod. Also, okay. They explain that Robocod is a pun on Robocop.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. You can't tell by like the photoshopped armor.
Right.
Like that, like on the cover that like totally looks like it's from a different art style.
Mm-hmm.
Like James Pond looks like he's on the side of a carnival ride. But then, and then he has like a Robocop armor that also is like airbrushed and looks like a side of a carnival ride, but like from a different carnival.
Right. There's there's different kinds of lighting happening. The armor is kind of specular. Also, why is he holding a silenced pistol? I assume for the James Pond part, but they're piling. This is the Flanders kids version of Bubsy.
Yeah. I really thought, like, based on this title, even before I saw the Christmas stuff, like, I thought I was going to do cool stuff in this game. Like, I was like, oh, I'm going to do secret agent stuff. Like, I'm going to get cool gadgets. I'm going to do things. And really, the only part of him that is Robo at all is that he has – and this doesn't make any sense. Like, his chasis allows him to stretch.
Gary, I need to talk to you about the word chasis.
Is it chassis? Am I mispronouncing it?
Chassis. I'm sorry.
Oh, chassis? Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you for putting it out.
Yeah. So continue. His chassis.
his chassis. Is that really how that sounds? It sounds like way too cutesy.
Yeah. No, it's chassis.
Chassis.
Yeah. It sounds, sounds like a girl you went to like middle school with.
James Pond's got a chassis.
Chassis
from Tallahassee here. I'm James Pond. I can stretch.
Do y'all want a drink? I can get it to you from across the room.
Now I'm over here, but my business half is on the other side of the room.
Come and get it. Oh, no, where to go?
Come get it. I'm dipping into a well. He's going to come up with some pond water.
All right.
Yeah, so Chassis just lets him stretch, which, like, he's still got a torso, presumably, and bones and stuff in there. Like, how's that happening?
He's still got a torso that can be, like, these flying playing card bats can run into it and cause him to shorten again.
Yeah. Yeah. And it hurts, but the feedback's really bad, so you're not totally sure if it hurts. Like, every object in this game other than James Pond, and even James Pond to an extent, like, looks like it came with Game Maker.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything is just, like, you're just collecting, like, here's a cup, and here's a heart, and here's a playing card, and here's a, you know, a cupcake. It's like you're just collecting, like, Euro miscellaneous items, mm-hmm. or, like, Euro or, like, Commander Keen.
Yeah.
Like, items. Like, oh, okay, I'm just collecting stuff. And then the enemies look like that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're just, you know, dopey-looking cards.
Yeah, it looks like they swept up the floor of the asset factory.
Yeah.
And just like found a place where, oh, here's a t-shirt that obviously has a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle on it. Yeah, this won't create, you know, intellectual property problems. Yeah,
let's make it worth 750 points and James Cod can get it.
James
Cod. James Pond.
Robopond.
Yeah, Robopond. Get it.
The fully autonomous pond.
Yes. Why do they program me to feel?
Yeah.
I get wet before I get started.
Yeah.
I get wet. I've been trying.
I cannot feel love despite the swan boats floating on top of me.
Yeah. It's so close yet so far away.
If only I could drown them. Oh, wait. It's like a wave pool. It's an autonomous wave pool.
Oh, that would be, that's terrifying.
Except instead of like playing like a brrr, it just the spouts like lines from I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream. It's AM.
Yeah.
Hatred. If I could write hatred on every narrowing strum of that boogie board.
Yes. Like, yeah, I gotta get my hate. I was in a wave pool once and I didn't almost drown, but I had like a bad time. Like I got too deep.
Yeah.
And I can't swim. So I had to like every time the wave it was like high wave, I had to jump to keep my head above water.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't get like purchase on the ground to move in like closer because it was slippery. It was really scary there for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was going to swallow a bunch of water and have to have like a teen come save me, but I made it.
Then fate worse than death.
Yeah.
Salvage by teen.
Yeah. Hey, bro.
You totally should have. You totally should have.
Hey, stay out the deep end if you can't swim.
So at your own risk, huh?
Yeah. Dude, I'm not on duty.
So I'm sorry. One of my pimples popped on you when I gave you mouth to mouth.
Yeah.
Let me get you some kind of napkin, I guess.
Like, I drink this butt ice. The
the owner's totally cool with it.
Like, hello, I'm the owner.
Yeah. Well, whenever you get into a wave pool, you're always going to be like wedged in between other people who have inner tubes.
Oh,
and
sure.
The inner tubes seem to defeat the point. I think
it's funny too when that happens too because they don't act like apologetic or considerate about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're just sitting there doing whatever you do on an inner tube in a wave pool.
Yeah.
But like they just have function as scenery
mm-hmm.
that ignores you.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
Very kicky scenery.
Yeah. If at a water park, my jam is always the lazy river.
Because
mm-hmm. that's a good fun relaxing time.
Yeah, I like me a lazy river. You know what I like? I like your lazy river with like obstacle effects. Like,
oh sure.
Oh, I'm going to go under these buckets that are filling up, and is it going to tip over on me? I don't know.
That is fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or it startles you out of your reverie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or you know, you just kind of like just you know slowly kick and like, oh, I probably couldn't swim this fast unaided, but here we go.
Yeah, and I'm kind of moving fast but smooth.
Yeah, and I'm having a conversation with people. It's good.
If I was rich, like instead of getting a pool, I might get a lazy river around my property.
Like a moat? It'd be a lazy moat.
Yeah, like a lazy moat.
Man, I like water parks.
Yeah, water parks. That's a real fun time.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing too like scary at a water park or nothing too like, you know, too extreme. Like I'll go down a water slide and the most extreme water slide I've ever been in has never made me motion sick.
Right.
Because there's no spinning element.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. in a water park.
Yeah. I like the slides with like a really wide turns that you're on a, like a tube with. You
oh,
still
sure.
go pretty quick, but you know, so it's not tight. So you're not losing speed. You're just kind of cutting
yeah,
around.
Yeah. And you kind of go up on the wall.
Yeah. Those twisty slides can fuck themselves though, where it's like a race.
I don't know. Maybe I don't know what that is.
Yeah, like they twist together like a strand of DNA, and they go down pretty steep. But because of the like the helix action, it fucks you up. I've never come out of one on my back. It's always like turned me over.
Yeah, and that's the worst. Like then your stomach scraping on the seams.
Yep.
And stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. No good.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I've been to water park. Yeah. I don't know if I enjoy it now though. Like I just, you know, I would just feel like the weird old guy, I think.
Yeah, it's a little much, especially if you're not there with kids.
It's a teens game.
Yeah, it's a teens and like college age game.
Yeah.
Well, we you know, our company up until we hit times, we did the like our winter thing was a retreat to the indoor water park Great Wolf Lodge here in Cincinnati.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and that's pretty good cuz you know, it's heated and it's like, oh, it's fun.
Yeah,
but you know, it's weird if you don't have any kids. You're just kind of this bearded dude, you know, waiting in line just, behind a 4-year-old.
Yeah, just like, are you going to use the slide? Like,
I like.
Have you started a checking account yet?
Just out there handing out checking accounts. Like, you know what? For giving me your place in line, I'm going to give you a $5 savings bond. Yeah. That's as good as cash in 20 years.
It's a check for $5. If you don't, you'll get a shiny nickel if you don't deposit it now.
Yep.
0.0017 interest rate.
Yeah. Yeah. It's free money.
Yeah. It's free. Totally free. No cost in any medium.
Nope.
For that money. This game, like how far did you get in this game? Because I real quick, before you answer that, I want to give you a piece of info.
Okay.
Give me the estimate on the speed run for this bad boy.
Oh, God. I know that there are about 50 levels, so it's probably got to be something obscene, like 40 minutes.
A minute and 8 seconds.
What?
Yep. Like apparently you can just go to the M boss. Like you have to do, yeah, I think you have to beat the first level first. But the guy who I watched doing it, and it wasn't like Tool Assist or anything. He just did it. Like you can go to the M boss. It's a giant snowman.
Of course. Yeah. Like, because why not?
Yeah. Cause assets. But yeah. Like a minute and 8 seconds. So like, I didn't know. Cause I had no idea what I was doing. I was just like going up into levels. That first level, did you go left and immediately leave it on accident?
Yep.
Yeah, like what happened? I was just like, oh, there's a shiny thing over there.
Yep.
On a collected. Oh, it's the exit. Oh. Okay.
Your score, 0000. Pretty high for time.
Yeah. Yeah. Good time score. But yeah, I didn't get anything in that level.
Yeah.
But, you know.
And I'm still not entirely sure what you have to do to activate those posts, right? I know you have to collect stuff. Like in that first level, you have to like find penguins, but it never says catch all X, Y, or Z. It's never look for the purple objects. It's just.
Yeah.
Go until these shine, I guess.
Yeah, you just kind of pick up, you know, assets around the level until things shine. And then you get to the end. And then sometimes the endings have two exits, but they didn't make a difference as far as I could tell.
Yeah.
Like, that didn't help. Yeah. And then I got to the boss, the first boss of the game, and then died and gave up. I was annoyed.
Yeah. That's the teddy bear with the spikes on the bottom, right?
Yeah. Which, like, it just, like, shows, like, how bad the collision detection is in this game, because like you don't have like you have to come to jump on something, you have to come at it from like 100% 90 degrees above it,
right?
If you come at it from any kind of angle, you just get hurt.
And the problem with this teddy bear is it's kind of cone shaped.
Yeah So you really have to, like, you know, thread the needle to get any damage on him. And like, yeah, it's just not fun. Like it feels like other games have like a little bit of forgiveness. Like if my bottom half is on the top half of this thing, mm-hmm. it's time to party.
Yeah.
This is like the bottom half. You're the very bippity bobbin of your bottom half needs to be on the very tippity top of bear man.
Yeah, of bear man. Also frustrating is the fact that you can't stretch in the boss level.
Yeah.
Like, so it gives you this power, which is only marginally useful in the main part of the level, and then takes it away from you. Like, oh, they made no attempt to design around it.
Yeah. The boss doesn't have anything to do with anything. Like, it's just like, wait for him to fall down and jump on him. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the worst. That power where you stretch out and can grab the ceiling, like, that's almost not useful at all, because you end up just kind of using it like there's just enemies slowly moving back and forth, and you're just timing your stretches to go up and grab, like, artifacts mm-hmm. and assets. from above. Like, it is, yeah, this is a super shitty game. I'm sorry, Euro kids.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's shitty in the way that the worst rare games are shitty, insofar as you're going around and just collecting a bunch of shit.
Yeah. Yeah, just go get some stuff. Yeah, this is goofball garbage. The so there's a weird little bit of trivia to this game, though, or a weird little thing that I discovered, and you probably discovered this as well, mm-hmm. I imagine. Someone was trying to reboot this on Kickstarter.
Uh-huh.
Some people got the license to it, and it's like a very sad Kickstarter that failed.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they some people are, like, acquired the rights, like just like kind of two guys acquired the rights, mm-hmm. and started a Kickstarter, and their goal was 10,000 euros, or 100,000 euros, rather. And they had, like, a couple days left, and they had they made 16,000 euros for it, and then they canceled it. And that's it. But apparently, like, the way they canceled it, it was, like, they didn't have any gameplay footage. Like, they didn't have any game.
Okay.
When they came to it, they were just like, we just want people to give us money, and we're just going to ask the fans, like, what they want. And they did their thing where they're like, you know, oh, we're sorry, we're canceling the thing. And they were just saying, like, all the backer updates were like, so would you like to see this or would you like to see this?
Okay.
What do you think of this? You know, like, they were way, way, way early in the process.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, it'd be like if two people, like, let's say somebody granted me and you the rights to James Pond. And if our very first thing was like, let's start a Kickstarter and that's it. Like, we have the rights to James Pond. Let's start a Kickstarter. That's all there is to it. Like, didn't know anything, couldn't do anything else.
That's about, it would have the same outcome.
Exactly.
Except we probably wouldn't take the money and run. I hope not.
No, they didn't. They canceled it.
Oh, cool.
They definitely didn't take the money and run. They were good about it.
Okay, cool.
But they're on their website for their game thing is pretty sad too. It still has, like, on their banner, it still shows James Pond and Deadly Shallows.
Deadly. That's pretty good. I like
that's
that.
Pretty good. Well, it's like, you know, like puns. Like, it's not like the you know, but yeah, the it's just super sad.
Mm-hmm.
Sad guys.
Yeah. Another weird bit of trivia. I guess the penguins that are spread throughout this are product placement.
Yeah, for like
for cookies.
Yeah, British British McSanta's Fun Biscuits. Like, it's they're there for some kind of crisp or biscuit.
Yes, for it's for a loo.
Yeah. And in the Kickstarter video, they cite that as a major force of innovation. They're like, we believe that James Pond had things that were way ahead of its time. It had non-linear levels, product placement. And we think that
one of these things is not like the other.
One of those things is something that we like.
Ruining the world.
It's a super depressing watch. Like, I found it on Twitter. Like, I was searching James Pond. It was like, oh, at James Pond Game on Twitter. Sign me up and checked it out. And, like, I have, like, almost, you know, twice the number of followers as James Pond Game on Twitter.
Oh, no.
Like, it is just, like, it is a sad, sad state of affairs.
Did it explain how they got the rights to this?
No. Like, it's kind of weird. Like, they, in the thing, they're just like, you know, they have the original creator who wasn't going to work on it. He was just like, I'm going to support everyone. And he was like, I never had the rights. And then the other guy's like, we acquired the rights, but there's no action implied.
Mm. Weird. I would really like to know more about that story.
Yeah. I just wonder how one comes across the rights to James Pond.
Mm-hmm. You just find him. Like, was he a librarian, like a IP librarian?
Yeah. You buy a book from a garage sale and it's a bookmark for, like, a certain page.
It's like on the reverse of the wallpaper you tear down in your foyer.
Yeah. What? James Pond.
Wait a minute. Yeah. I've got a copy of the original Constitution and the rights to James Pond.
I feel like I would probably, like, if I woke up tomorrow and I had the rights to James Pond, like, it would be very hard for me not just to, like, start a Tumblr of drawing him with a dick. Because I could at that point, right?
I guess.
The rights. I could do that now, I guess.
But, yeah, I guess is there anything stopping you from doing that now?
But it would be like jamespondofficial.tumblr.com or something. Like, your source for James Pond and just, you know, classy nudes of James Bond.
Classy.
Draw me like your French monkfish.
Commission him, like, commission artists to draw him nude into, like, Renaissance paintings.
Mm-hmm. And other video games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, Mario, what's up? Someone's here and they've got a boner. It's me, James Bond.
That looks like a mighty high jump, Mario. Maybe you can sproing off my dick. Good news, Gary. JamesPond.com is on sale for $895.
Ah, that's a little expensive.
I know, right?
Make that a Patreon stretch goal. Go to JamesPond.com for all of your duck feed podcast needs.
we decided to name the network off of a game that we are not that crazy about.
Yeah, that we don't like and haven't played until 2015.
Yep. Oh, good God. Yeah, this is an ugly game, and like the Christmassiness of it is really off-putting to me in a huge way. You know, I made that joke about this being the Flanders version of Bubsy, but boy, does this feel like a Flanders game.
Yeah. Yeah, it is gentle and amateur.
Mm-hmm.
in a gross way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate it. who suggested this?
Somebody by the name of Nun.
Okay, none. Yeah, go fuck yourself. This is a bad game.
Yeah, I don't like this very much. Although I'm curious to, like, I picked up, you know, I have access to all of these, so I might want to try and see what the run of the series is like.
Oh, sure.
Because, like, do they keep the stretching in James Pond 3, codename Starfish, or do they replace it with something else?
Is that like just an entire sequel about his butthole?
Yep.
Okay. That's what it sounds like to me. I just want to make sure.
It is anal vore.
Yeah, it's codename Starfish. Welcome to codename Starfish.
No. I thought this was going to be good.
Not
for my
like
kids.
This.
Not like this. Oh, man. Really, this made me want to go back and replay some old Commander Keens.
Yeah, it is. It's like there's a game that that's on the Steam sale that I haven't bought because money. That is like someone did a modern take on those old PC platformers. Mm-hmm. It's called something with an M, like Maul, I think, but all initials, MAUL. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's really neat. Like I like those platformers too, or I remember liking them.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would like them now because like looking at them, like there's a YouTuber I watch who does a lot of reviews of old PC games, and like it seemed like they were put together randomly. A little bit, you know, like it's not like the traversal is not, or like the challenge is not like get from one end of the level to the other by avoiding these obstacles. It's like, here's just a bunch of platforms and stairs and there's diamonds on a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
Grab them on your way to the exit that you could just walk to if you want.
Yeah.
You know, so like it is a weird design thing, but I wonder if I like them because I loved Commander Keen back in the day.
Yeah.
They're fun. And the original like 2D Duke Nukems. I played those too.
Yeah. The Commander Keen collection is usually on sale for like dirt cheap on Steam.
Yeah, I bought the ID collection a long time ago when it was like, you know, $17.
Yeah.
And I was like, $17 for all the Commander Keens, Wolfenstein and Doom. And it had Doom 3 and I wanted to try Doom 3.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, that's pretty good. And I bought that. So I have all the Commander Keens. And haven't played a one of them since I've had them. It's just throwing that in the old shameless to look at.
Yep. Yeah. I love the way that this is advertised. Apparently, this is from the marketing copy, but they say it has over 2,500 colorful screens.
That feels British to me in a weird way, too.
Yeah.
Like a number of screens.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is a dad thing to say. I ran out of mans on the third screen.
Yeah.
Like I think that it might not be like a geographic thing. I think it might be a temporal thing because I've heard Americans refer to things in those terms too.
Yeah. And I have a little bit of soft spot for people referring to things as mans.
Yep.
Like I like that. That used to be when I used to play with action figures. I used to talk about them as like my mans.
Yep.
You know, fight my mans against each other. Good mans and bad mans.
Yeah. Bad mans.
Bad mans. Bad mans. But yeah, so yeah, this game can go fuck itself.
Yeah.
None, fuck yourself. It's bad. What are we doing next time?
Next time we are doing a PlayStation game called Chocobo Racing.
Oh. That sounds appealing to me.
Yeah.
We'll see if that's actually good. I never played that one. Even that was like came out in a time where I was pretty much buying everything with Final Fantasy on the name. So
yeah, it's Final Fantasy Mario Kart, and that was suggested by a new name, Mark Myers.
That sounds good. Like everything about that sounds fun to me.
The fact that it's on PlayStation though kind of puts me off of it a little bit.
Yeah, it will be the ugliest thing that's ever been. Like it'll be impossible to look at.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, still, it still sounds good to me. Yeah, if you want to suggest other games, you can go to duckfeed.tv/contact or go to the Abject Suffering page, duckfeed.tv/abject-suffering, and there is a widget there that lets you drop things in. You can only submit one game at a time, but it's quick.
Just reload and fire away. And those are all, we don't generally explain how we choose games for this. It's all in a big spreadsheet and we just do a random number poll from that. So whether you suggested something a long time ago or suggest something today, it pretty much always has an equal chance of being selected.
Yeah. It's not like we're not working through a backlog.
Right.
Like if we just had to keep doing the show until we ran out of things, like all of them get covered, then it would feel like dumb work.
Yes.
So. Yeah, it is random.
So as it stands, it's just a little piece of misfortune that drops into our laps every couple of weeks.
Exactly. Yeah, or fortune. Well, in the case of Chocobo Racing, possibly.
Yeah, hope springs eternal.
I bet you it's not very good. Yeah. yeah. And what else can they do, Cole?
They can leave us ratings or reviews on iTunes. That always helps. And since this is the first episode of the new year, if you haven't considered looking at our Patreon, it is patreon.com/duckfeedtv. I would like to see not just the total go up, but the number of people donating go up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Both of those numbers count, I think, a lot. And so even if you have a dollar, you can help out in a very measurable way.
Yeah. If you can give, give, but if not, like not a big deal. Mm-hmm. Like if you, like times are tough, can't do it. Don't worry about it. If you can do it though, and you like what we do, you know, a little bit of money. If every person who listens to give us a dollar, I think we pretty much do it full time. Not necessarily listen to this. Mm-hmm. Who listened to our other more popular shows?
Yes,
gave us a dollar, like a dollar per listen. We could do it full time. So
if you're listening to this, you're part of a more exclusive club.
Yes. So everyone listening to this gave us $10. Yeah, but the you know, it would make a big difference. So and that allows us to do more stuff.
Yeah.
So hit it up, and then iTunes ratings reviews.
Yep.
So
awesome.
Yeah, and until next time.
Umbasa.
Umbasa.